Welcome to the Between Dreams podcast, where we have conversations with people who are not only thinking about their big ideas and their big dreams, but doing the things to bring those ideas and dreams to life. Today's guest is Snubby J, aka Kent Jenkins. You may know him as one or the other. His Snubby J character has gathered millions of followers, set trends on social media, and made a whole lot of people smile. His new side project, or his new additional project under the Kent name, is what we talk about a little bit in this episode. We'll jump right into it. Here's my conversation with Kent, or as you may know him, Snubby J. The one thing that I was particularly interested in thinking about kind of preparing for this chat was the idea of you kind of built a brand around a character of yourself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people know that character.
Snubby J.
So Snubby J has been your kind of performance name character for kind of as long as I've known you, for sure.
Yeah, and even longer. I made my YouTube account in 2007 with that title.
Yeah.
So 16 years.
yeah, that's crazy. So a couple things on it, on the idea of like not abandoning something that you've spent basically your whole life and career building, but being able to say that's part of it. So for me, there was a few years ago, I kind of like really stepped back from performing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the One Man Variety show. It's like literally my username's One Man Variety still, you know, and that became such an identity. And then I was like, oh, I'm not really performing much anymore. I'm doing kind of behind the scenes creating content. And there was an absolutely feeling of like, oh, I'm abandoning my identity and like this whole thing that I built. So that's what I wanted to ask you about, this decision to, you know, step into using your real name.
Yeah.
Or your, not real, your, I mean, your normal human name.
My given name, yes.
Yeah. And what was the decision to do that? And then on the back end of what was that decision, did you feel this resistance to do that, like you were abandoning something that you had built?
What's funny is I see it as adding on. It never felt like I was taking away from Snubby J. It felt like this music was not Snubby J. It's funny because three of the songs on this 6-song album are originally Snubby J songs. A couple of them unreleased officially. One of them definitely released. The one was the Defy song. The last time I saw you, I was driving across the country. I was popping the tubes out in every city I stopped in and recorded a little snippet. So it was a Prospect Park. Was that what it was called?
Piedmont Park.
I knew it started with the P.
In Atlanta.
So yeah. I popped out and recorded a little snippet on my way to New York. And that song I reimagined for the piano. But it didn't feel like this collection of music that I was really feeling the need to release was meant to be under that title. So I actually had more of a conundrum with, do I use my real name, Kent Jenkins, or do I think of another alter ego to be able to catalog all these songs under? And I think that was more of my dilemma. I don't think I've abandoned Snubby J in any way. It's like that's still happening. I just posted another RibbaTubes video, and I have plans for more stuff in the future. But it's just funny. The relabeling yourself, re-identifying when it's something that I have built this crazy brand as Snubby J. It's got like 3 million followers now across all platforms, which is insane. To then be like, all right, do I create a new page for Kent Jenkins? Do I just advertise that under Snubby J? Like, yeah, not even just branding wise, it was like marketing wise. How do I share this music into the world? And I think I'm doing like a little cross hybrid thing and just letting it organically grow. And if people resonate with the music, I'll make more. It's just something I wanted to selfishly create as an artist inside myself.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I like that feeling of building upon, because that's where I felt, you know, there was so much that I took from juggling and performance world and still do that stuff, but like utilizing those things to different opportunities forward. And I, knowing most of my friends being entertainers, and as we all get older, there's like new interests and different things. And I see so many people that are kind of stuck and don't have that approach that you just talked about, where they're like, oh, I've done this juggling act or this music act or this magic act for 25 years. That's all I know how to do. So I guess I'll just keep doing this, even though I like hate doing it. And it's like that those skills. And it's always bums me out when I hear like magicians be like, oh, I don't know how to do anything else. And meanwhile, I'm like, all right, you're like doing your own photos and videos and content and marketing. And like you have all these things or
Renaissance.
You know, it's just so crazy that people are, you know, unaware to see that stuff. So I think that's super cool. To be able to see, like, oh, we're building this upon a world.
Yeah, and for me, it felt like I was going back to my roots. The very first artistic expression I had was going up in my, like, diapers and playing, banging on the piano. Like, just making sound with that instrument. And then growing up playing piano to then musical directing in college and a little bit after with musicals. And even just recently, I was back in L.A. working on Little Shop of Horrors as a musical director. And accompanying that show as a pianist. So it's like, that is a part of me and something I just haven't been able to ever really showcase or exercise creatively. And I think that's where that need came about too. I feel like you could also joke it was kind of like a quarter life crisis or, you know, like, I don't know, I turned 30 this past year. So it's like maybe in the timeline of things of, oh yeah, I got to keep doing other stuff that makes me happy. But
yeah. So when we were, before we started recording, you kind of mentioned that it might be cool that we dive into some things. And you said the word failure.
I used the word failure. I feel like we have a good range of conversation with our podcast interviews. So I'd love to, talk about all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it ties well into what we're talking about in, you know, inevitably in these things that we're doing, there's like trying something and quote failure and then driving back to, oh, that was a building block for the next thing that was required. Yes. And a couple podcast episodes ago, Seth Ward was on and he had this great jam of,
he has a documentary coming out. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I saw that sizzle for
so
it.
So cool.
It looks great. Yeah. I know they've been working on that for a long time. So
yeah,
that's nice to come out. Yeah. And he had this like great little jam of like as a performer. And he's talking mostly about like live performance and being on stage and doing sketches, you know, just like in performance world. Those like moments of failure that just become those opportunities to be aware of your, you know, the situation and create a real experience, especially for audiences, for like the most of us who don't go on stage or do comedy sketches or something. It's like so relevant and valuable though. So we just saved it for the recording. So what's on your mind? What failures have you been accumulating lately?
I was thinking of you though, because you are thinking in bigger scheme. I remember when we were like working together more in LA 5 years ago that, you know, you were trying to invest yourself in bigger things and not just have to hustle to tiny little gig. And I feel like in this past year, I've morphed into that world a little bit more. Like the last big thing I had was this contract on a cruise ship. I was performing with this group called Junk and it was awesome. It was like Stomp with like Barbershop Quartet singing, really fun, short, sweet, zany, kind of a clown like energy to it too. But I got to cruise around the Caribbean with these awesome performers for 4 months, in the fall and, have that full-time performer like status. It was really comforting to have that for the first time when I've always been a freelance hustling type myself.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately ended early due to budget cuts. Like we got the notice in November and it was like right before the holidays and my family was coming on board and another castmates was going to come on board for the like, you know, Christmas time period. And we were just getting off right before then. So it's just like, it was just a mess of a time. And I had started to set aside time knowing that like my contract was going to be ending in the new year anyways. It just ended a little short. I was like, okay, I want to do like three big things this upcoming year. And one was like a West Coast tour with some music friends, online TikTok friends. It just, and then one was, there was talk of us going to another location with our Junk crew and we got accepted for it. And then a contract never came in. I'll try to keep it as vague as possible, but basically we're going to go international, like to another country and perform at like a theme park. And then that didn't pan out. And then also, the third thing is still in the works and I'm hoping it's going to happen. So I don't want to jinx it by talking about it, but like, that's where, yeah. When I got off the ship, I was like, that didn't work out. Dang. I was expecting this to last longer and keep working. Then we got the news. Oh, you're going to be in this theme park. And I was like, amazing. I get to work with these guys again. Then that failed. And then the third thing was, yeah, this West Coast tour I was trying to produce with my friends, and just combination of things of scheduling conflicts and not getting enough theaters interested that were appropriate for, the select cities. And then all this time and energy put into these bigger things I was trying to manifest just immediately, like at the snap of almost like the pandemic, you know, remember like Friday the 13th, yeah. March 13th of 2020, like things just changed on the dime of big life. And so that's where almost releasing this piano album was a chance for me to take control again and say, hey, I've got all this pent up energy of things I want to share with the world. I have control over this. It's not perfect. It's not even with a click track. It's unpolished. I just felt the need to share something. And I was like, this is the time. Let me make this happen and put it out there. And it was because of those other, you know, I want to call them failures, but they are lessons to be learned in the process too. And I think I'm still figuring out what those lessons are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a lot. I just wanted to like, but I was like, I feel like these are the kind of conversations we can like bounce off of really well.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and there's so many things in there of those. And I think diving into those. I think there's a lot of times that, and the Between Dreams world is so, it's exactly, and you like nailed it, you know, because you've seen the stuff evolving over the years. And there's those moments. So I think it comes down to those moments, because there's moments when that happens. You get the call on the cruise ship and you just like invited people out to see the show and all this stuff. And you're like, it's not only like you're disappointed. You're like, oh, you're like people have plans. Like there's like logistics that are now like ruined.
Yep.
It's not even just like, yeah, that I'm bummed. So there's those moments. And I feel like those are more important moments than anything. They're turning points, because those moments, there's a decision. And those things that happen, you know, to us, in especially in creative world, there's bad things, quote, bad things that happen to us every day. You know, things don't turn out right, or
we just had
like a video, same thing, we won't go into details, but we just had a video like contract that was agreed upon, invoice sent, work started on it, everything's good to go, hold up, you know, pause all work because it's not happening anymore. And we're like, wait, that was as real as it could ever be. So,
yep.
You know, there's these things that happen constantly. And all of us, a lot of people that are listening here and around this world are live performers. And it's like, we know, you know, so many promises of, yeah, this is definitely good. And then it falls apart, or it's like starts and then collapses. So
it's
in
just
those
a bummer when there were big things that I was like, I will clear out my year for these things all my energy, and then boom, boom, boom. And that's where I'm holding out for this, I guess, fourth thing. It's coming up. I'm really trying to manifest. But there was even a conversation last night with the team saying, should we be postponing this? Is this right timing because of X, Y, Z? And I like started to cry. I was just like, I can't say no to another thing, but I understand for the group that sometimes you gotta let it fall.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's that? Those decisions in those, like I said, those moments, those turning points of decision of, this is crappy. I think this is a crappy situation, but you know, so it's like we can be bummed, or we can say, okay, cool. Now I have an opportunity to, you know, that's a foundation. That foundation isn't going to go away just because it's not building upon right now. Okay, those bricks were laid over here. I'm going to go work on some other bricks over here. And then you see it. You know, we've both seen so many people in our worlds where all these things start to click and you're like, oh, they got on a TV commercial and they got a TV show and they got a Netflix show and they got this tour and all this. And then we see those flashy things, but then you backtrack and you're like, oh, they made this YouTube pitch 10 years ago that now is the Netflix show, and they were touring, you know, and doing all of these things. So how do you stay in that mindset in those moments? So for you, you're on the cruise ship, they're like, ah, show's getting canceled, or we're not renewing the contract, or ending early, whatever the thing is. And then you get hit with another one. You go home, you're like, okay, cool, I'll go do a tour. And then you get hit with another one. And it's like, okay, cool, I'll go do this other thing. Like, at what, like, a lot of people want, well, they're one and done. You know, they're like, oh, the world hates me, I'm out. And then, you know, they get three and they're like, okay, well, there's something wrong with me. So what do you do in those moments? Like, because it's easy to say, oh, well, like, it's just keep going. But it's impossible in the moment to hear that.
There are two things that came to mind with that. First, I think it's absolutely right to grieve the loss of something. And I think I'm still processing the cruise ship because it was such a investment in my life that I moved out of LA, brought all my stuff up to Oregon, where I am right now, to my family's house. And basically was, I'm here, I'm doing this. I said goodbye so many other gigs to like make this happen, because that was kind of the dream. I wanted to be a part of the Blue Man Group and be a part of like this full-time show that's performing, it's percussion and entertainment. And that fulfilled that, and was even on the Norwegian Cruise Lines, which is where Blue Man performs. So I felt like I was basically living that dream with the promise of being able to like keep working with them, and the hope to keep working. Like, we're still tight. Like, I'm even with the employees on the ship, like in different regards, I'm very happy. But the loss of that is something I felt like I'm still processing, because it was such a big thing. But twofold, I feel like the other half of that that came to mind was the fact that this has happened so much, right? There are so many ups and downs through, just even before you're fully a creator or performer or whatever you do with your entertainment is, or your career really, is that you're facing those failures. And so I'm, and the highs. So I take it all with a grain of salt now, where I'm like, okay, this experience of this video going crazy viral, amazing. I'm so grateful. It's a testament to all the hard work paying off, but it's also, I can look back on that and take solace of saying, yes, I can achieve this. And I have documentation over the past decade that those highs and lows of performing in this awesome place or having this project do very well, those are kind of a mark of, yes, it's possible, and it's not going to be gone forever. So the idea of keeping going is because of that lineage carried behind me too.
Yeah. Yeah, and so bounce into that a little bit of, like, you know, you mentioned, like, oh, a video, like, goes viral or something. And that's what it's, you know, because so many people could be like, oh, I could have thought of that. Hitting pipes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it's like, funny because, I mean, obviously, derivative of Blue Man Group, I was a huge nutso fan over them. But, like, I think the energy I bring to it, too, is, like, you know, it makes it unique.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but then, like, what my, like, bringing that up is, like, how many videos and, like, work, you know, the backlog of stuff, you know, and, you know, I think it's funny the, on your, like, a specific one. I love how the wrapping tubes.
Oh, yes. That whole thing took it off.
It became such a crazy thing. And it was like such a fascinating thing, that song, and then it became a thing. And then I don't know how many. I remember seeing it like all over the place.
So many creative takes on it and iterations over the years. And it's funny because now it's become a holiday tradition for people. December 1st or even the day after Thanksgiving. It's like, all right, time for Christmas. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that because, like, a little thing, and not to dive into, like, viral videos and all of that, but, like, how many other, you know, it's that people are like, I want to create this thing. You know, it's a success and failure and keep going and persistence game of those building those blocks. Is how many videos did you make? How many little snippets of songs? And, like, somehow one becomes a thing that picks up. Mm-hmm. And it feels so relevant to me because you can extrapolate that to other things. Okay, I make this video. And for me, same thing, like doing podcast episodes or whatever, just like keep experimenting and then using the tools that are around. You know, there's like 110 episodes or something of this podcast that are like through the year, you know, recording in hotel rooms with no microphones and, you know, just like crazy progression to the point where it's like, oh, that's cool. And then, but there was all of that groundwork that got put into it.
Yes. And I think some projects are inevitably, you know, meant to fall through. Like, just even talking about the failures I've had this year, it's like things aren't. So, it's, if you're wanting to be a content creator and it's not working out, Like, you can keep experimenting or go a different direction, and maybe you're, you know, it's going to be more aligned in another regard. And that's where, yeah, I've made hundreds of videos, but vast majority are still, you know, thousands of views in grand scheme of comparison to like millions of views of some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to the new music.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned that as you were like, there's no click and it's kind of just going.
It's, you know,
it's a jam and it's rocking. So that's another thing that would prevent a lot of people from putting out a thing. They're like waiting. Okay, I need to rent a studio and hire a producer, and I'm not going to be ready for another year, and I need to record these things. You know, there's a million things, and how many people that, you know, I've talked to and heard from in my life, whether it be start a podcast, release an album, write a book, there's all these things that are like, yeah, I do need a studio, and I do need a producer, and I do need to find a publisher first, and no one's going to listen to my podcast, and I need all this gear, you know, a million things. But there's another turning point moment that the decision comes, okay, I don't have, or I don't want to, or I don't, you know, whatever the reason that people have, I don't have that thing that I think I need to make this thing. But mm-hmm. I love that idea of, okay, what if we just jam some tunes and release it and have an album? So what was that
and
for you of the decision? Because you could have like waited and spent more money and did like a whole bigger production. I don't want to like say that
Absolutely.
You recorded a crappy thing and just released crap, but like there could have been more of a production and
hiring
a band
and layers of instruments, and that's
typically
what I've done for Snubby J songs too. I'm very grateful to my roommates and my friends that helped support me in making this happen. Had various people just involved with, you know, titling the songs or writing little licks within them, so it's like even just in the creation of the art, like I had a lot of support. But then my roommates let me take over the house piano for a couple of weeks and just put a blanket for it so I could make a little tiny studio. And then our friend Aaron Grooves, he let me borrow his really nice mics, and so I was able to set up a stereo capture, but I didn't know how it was supposed to be. I recorded a couple of tracks and realized you could hear me breathing, and so I was like, oh nope, I gotta redo those. And it was a really ragtag process of, I was happy with like the first verse and chorus of one song, and then this other take, I, you know, did like four or five takes and comped it together, basically spliced it all to make it sound like one whole take. But that was a way for me to take solace in saying, okay, even with the bare minimum of all these things, I can still be proud of the, you know, the curated work I put out there. But I think of you too, when you brought up like the example of the book, like I that never had crossed my mind that I could produce and publish my own book until you were doing that with your book, you know, however many years ago. So I don't know. I think we can inspire each other in that way. And that's, I think, part of the point of this album too, is just to say, hey, I've had a dream of recording an album for the longest time. Might just be an EP, whatever, but it's at least, hopefully, if anything, inspiring others to take their creativity to that publishing level.
I think the feeling of, and I see this happen all the time with things where people overproduce things and it loses that thing, you know, or over edit a book or, you know, whatever it is, where they lose that personality. And listening to that, I could like feel the energy, you know, it felt like it didn't, you know, because if you like perfect it, it literally doesn't have soul. It doesn't, you know, it's like perfecting the mix, and you know, in studios you just get, you know, you get too much of a generic sound. So I love that,
I
like listening
that.
To it, you could feel the energy of you playing it, even just on Spotify, not video or anything. You could feel like, oh, this is, because it feels a little bit like it has a little bit of raw edges left, where it still feels like, oh, someone's playing the piano. It's not a, you know, it's definitely not a computer creating this thing, because it would just be too smooth and polished. So I really like that. That was like it sounds like,
no,
you didn't,
but that's
produce
the point.
It, but
like, thank
like
you.
So
like
good.
You get it. And that's where it's like the dream is to be able to play these, you know, live, just pop up anywhere in the world and be able to just start jamming. Like the tubes has been such a hassle to lug around, whether it's in the suitcases or coming out of my van. It's to be able to show up to any piano and just start noodling around a little bit. It's satisfying to be able to offer that, and to whatever degree. And, you know, if that's jamming with others or some other people add on to the song, that's where I hear some of these songs having drums, bass, or other instrumentation. So, you know, one day that could happen, and I'm certainly not done writing songs. And I think hearing audience feedback and seeing what people like, again, this is my first time releasing music of this kind. It's like, what resonates with people if I did want to pursue this further, so I could record more that's either more atmospheric or more of the high energy, or whatever it might be. And that's where it's almost like a demo of an album, because it's six songs that kind of have a trajectory of like kind of building up an energy and then like softening down and kind of feeling nostalgic by the end, even with a recap of some of the themes. So to be able to, hear audience response and just put it out there, that's my way to just throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, nice. So thinking about everything, so much of what you do, well, it looks like, so I think from the outside, looking at what you do feels like, oh, you're a guy playing these instruments, like making music. Okay, the tube, especially like you and your create, like I love all of the ones for duplicating yourself.
Yeah, yeah, the clones.
It looks very like a solo creator, kind of isolated creating stuff. But me knowing you, I know how collaborative and, you know, working with others you are. So where does that balance? And we'll kind of like tie things up with this idea of, as a creator in any sense, there is a sense of, I won't call it loneliness, I'll call it aloneness.
Yeah, independence required.
Yeah, like loneliness feels too depressing.
Fortitude to push forward, but I will have a story to match this, but that, exactly
right,
those
yeah,
sentiments.
And we'll just, yeah, this aloneness and ability to, because, you know, when this podcast ends, I need to go like do a bunch of crap that I don't really want to do, like managing files and all this stuff that, you know, and I know, you know, you have to like repair instruments and build instruments and these things, you get the reward after it's done. But there's a lot of that alone, show up and do the work. But then you get rewarded by being able to collaborate, you know, like especially with your world, you know, collaborate with music, collaborate with other online creators, collaborate in real life shows and in-person shows and all of those things. So how does that, or if your story that you're thinking about right now, jump right into that. How do you balance that, like the aloneness of the hustle? You have to do that. You have to be okay sitting up all night fixing your album or building
Absolutely.
Your instrument than working with others.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me think about how there is such a joy once you dig into the work. Sometimes it's just getting that first step, and then you can nerd out over video editing or audio processing or writing something new. It's like you get into that state, that flow state of being able to create. And it's just so satisfying once you're there. Like I'll pull all nighters video editing, 'cause I'm like, oh, I found this thing. Oh, this is so cool. Oh. And if I add fire in the background, like I just had this Rush E video and I just had that burst of thing at like 3 a.m. the day before I was going to release. And I was like, I gotta add this. I'm going to put it on, share it with my Patreon followers. And they're like, yes, that's cool. I do find joy eventually, but otherwise, yeah, that solitude that's required to get to that place, it can be hard. And that's where I have, through the pandemic, realized I thrive on collaboration. I am definitely externally motivated. And so having that also awareness to try to clock in, like, how can I stay self-motivated to create my own stuff and be more consistent with that? But also recognizing that there is the perk of just collaborating, and I can make my world build my world to be more around that. So the example I was going to give is that Crazy Train sound is from a 10-year anniversary re-performance of my medley that went first viral in 2010. This is in November 2020 again. So we're already, you know, been in the thick of 2020 world, which, you know, was devastating for artists and creatives, because here you were being able to go travel around and create stuff, and now you're stuck at home trying to rethink of how to go about this. So I was at my new house with my roommates in LA and just set up the Rimba tubes. I was kind of feeling already a little bit down. I performed this medley vertically. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. It's like on my side channel with that Crazy Train snippet. And I finished that and said, okay, now I got to do it horizontally landscape for actual YouTube. Like, that's still the preferred format on there, or was, you know, the shorts are becoming more of a thing. And as I was playing it, I broke down crying because I was like, I can't do this. Like, my mental health was already off the haywire there, but like, the thought of having to just keep performing for this camera and not receive the feedback in the same way or collaborate with others and feel like, oh yes, we did this together, but just having to have zero feedback from this camera in this room all by myself, I was just going nuts, and it was really disheartening. And I said, nope, I'm not going to do this. And I have like recording of me just like ranting for a few minutes of saying, I need to give up on this. This is too much. And then lo and behold, that's the video that goes crazy viral. Like, sometimes, again, like the lowest lows and the highest highs of it all is what comes with this, unfortunately. And I don't think that's a healthy mindset to like warrant that. But again, honoring the emotions of the human, of the artist, I think it's important to do. And that's where, yeah, the loneliness was real. And yeah. I think still having to overcome that just as individual humans in life. I think that's the reality of life, you know, live, you know, born alone, die alone kind of a thing, unless you're a twin or triplet or whatever, then yeah, you're not born alone. But, I think the thought of, yeah, the solitude, I think is to each their own. And that's where I have learned. I thrive on being an extrovert with other people and would rather be in those environments. And whether it's on a cruise or building a, you know, a tour with some friends, I think that's where I thrive. But when that doesn't work out, you still got to do your thing. And that's where Piano Jams had to come out.
Yeah, I love it. And on the other side of that, but like, look at what, by you showing up that day and recording that thing and the tubes, the wrapping tube, you know, phenomenon.
Wild.
You know, you just look at that and, you know, it'll sound like I'm over exaggerating here, but like, that is the like holiday video that some families make together every year as a family tradition. Like, and like, they might, you know, there's something in there that like, it sounds like I'm like over exaggerating it, but it's so true though. Yeah. True. Like, people, there's kid, a memory, there's a little the kid. Least. There's a lot of little kids that are like, oh, I can't wait till like they pick out outfits, matching like pajama outfits. They like plan the whole thing around it, and now they have this thing to do together as a family. And sure, they
and those were going viral for them too. So it's like, yeah that, they an got impact on
yeah.
Them.
So I just that. I want to acknowledge how powerful that is, and. Yeah, you know, okay, they would have done something else, whatever the other trend is, but sure. But it was like, now they have this thing, and they might not even know who you are or that you did it, but that makes it almost even better. Like, this thing lives on without you because you created this thing and you showed up in a time when it felt hard to do, but you did it. And now there's a moment, there's a lot, there's thousands of hours of human experience that like brought families together because of something that like at the so first glance you're like, this is so stupid that people are banging on the, you know,
but it's creative and gets people out of the amazing. Box. I love that. Thanks, man. I never thought of it that way. That's really beautiful.
So if there's anything that like fully ties into the Between Dreams world, is like that work that we're all doing and stuff in the moment, it feels like, and full circle it back, it feels like we're like failing, the thing's not working, oh, no one's gonna see this. Those are all those building blocks that circle together and you know, could be huge. And it's I don't want to be like, oh, you could go viral with your next trend, but again, it's because it's the value of it is, like I said, it brought families together. You know, it sounds like it, again, it sounds so like I'm just like being silly about it, but it's so like, you watch some of those videos, people like the people are having such a blast.
Fun.
It's amazing.
But it's like Edison invented the light bulb, right? Isn't there a thing of he invented all these different ways to not make a light bulb, like 100 over 100 ways? Or I think of also Michael Jackson recording, I think it was Billie Jean, one of his songs. He had 100 demos of the song that he recorded, and he ended up using like version 6, like like after all these iterations. So it's like, yeah, sometimes – even just earlier on, you it's clicking, and you just got to follow that impulse. So
yeah,
either way.
Amazing. So anything else you want to tie up loose ends as we wrap?
I just appreciate you. Thank you for hosting this. Thanks for being a consistent person in my life over all these years. It's always fun to circle back, and I appreciate you checking out my album and inviting me to come back on. That's awesome.
Yeah, same. All the same back to you. So for people that want to dig into both the Kent and Snubby worlds, where's the best place to send them?
Snubby J still. I would say my Instagram is really the most kind of cross hybrid of both of those worlds, especially right now with all the piano material. But yeah, you can check out my link tree and follow whatever social media or streaming platforms to find this music too that way.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Between Dreams podcast. We'll catch you on the next one. And if you're listening on a podcast listening platform that allows you to do ratings or reviews, it would be tremendous help to the show for you to drop a rating or a review and let us know what you think. That really helps me guide the show in a way that's most valuable to you, and also helps other people discover the show so that we can continue to bring amazing guests' stories to you. Thank you, and goodbye for now.